hand on my forehead.
From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point.
I put my shoes on my feet. I throw my car into the speed. I told my mama bye-bye. And little sister not to cry. But before the sun goes down, I run myself out of town.
After 40 years on the gospel blues music scene, the Holmes brothers know just how to take an audience from country blues to godly bliss to a rugged roadhouse high. Guitarist Wendell Holmes, his brother bassist Sherman Holmes, and drummer Popsy Dixon have been called the undisputed masters of blues-based American roots music. Their latest album, Simple Truths, does not disappoint. It is a compilation of original songs along with an ambitious reworking of classic tunes from Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry to Bob Marley's Concrete Jungle. The result is an uplifting series of secular songs with the moving gospel undertones that are the Holmes Brothers' trademark. Rolling Stone calls them inspired, warm, and soulful. Singer and one-time Holmes Brothers producer Joan Osborne goes for the juke joint line of praise, greasy, sexy, sly, ferocious. You may have heard them with Van Morrison, Peter Gabriel, Odetta, Phoebe Snow, or Joan Osborne herself. Tonight on Point, we've got them all on their own with their new album, Simple Truths.
I know the joke's on me.
Joining me now in the studio is gospel blues funk trio, the Holmes Brothers, guitarist, vocalist, Wendell Holmes, bassist, vocalist, Sherman Holmes, and drummer, vocalist, Popsy Dixon. Great to have all of you. Thanks so much for being here.
So good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure.
It is wonderful to have you. You've got your guitars, Popsy. You've got your drum set all set up. We've got the headphones on. We're ready to make some music. It's just a pleasure to have you with us. Joan Osborne has been in your circle recently. The last album you did was very gospel-oriented with Joan producing. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Joan has been a friend of ours for many years. I won't see how many years, because then we'd be telling her age. But
well, a lot of people will know her. Of course, she had the big pop hit, What If God Were One of Us.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
Was Jones. And you knew or know Joan Wendell Holmes from the New York, blues scene?
From the East Village, actually. Before she was a megastar, we all used to play in a little club called Dan Lynch's on 14th Street and 2nd Avenue, and it all evolved from there.
And she has played a big part, but this time you've stepped out from that gospel vein, and Sherman Holmes, tell us about this new album. How do you describe it? Simple Truths.
Well, like you say, the new album is more secular, and we used the producer, Craig Street, who brought a new
Nora Jones recently.
Nora Jones and Cassandra Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Yep, she's been on the show. Wonderful, wonderful singer.
Right. Yes.
And this time you've got your own works on here, plus you've just sort of done a... as great as they get, kind of cherry-picking here from Hank Williams and Willie Nelson, Bob Marley, Townes Van Zandt, and right on down the line. Why'd you go this way this time, Wendell?
Well, actually, it's what we do, and we call it good old Southern roots music, which encompasses gospel and a little Hank Williams and the blues, of course, and amalgamation of a lot of different genres.
I hear this story of you guys growing up in the 50s in the South, talking about white stations, radio stations with 100,000 watts, and black stations with 5,000 watts, and you'd be listening to the black music, and the white music would just kind of roll right in over that weaker signal.
Rolled right in there. Old Hank Williams would just cut right through over Jimmy Reed.
So Jimmy Reed, the great Jimmy Reed,
the
big inspiration.
Jimmy
we'll
Reed.
Talk about Jimmy, but it meant that whether you were ready or not, you got the mix. You got the whole range.
Ready or not, right. Here I come.
Right. Well, let's. We want to hear music and talk music tonight, just whatever comes to mind, but let's hear some right now, if you'd be good enough. You've got Hank Williams on this album.
Yes.
A long way from gospel here, but then plenty of soul in that white boy.
Absolutely, yes, indeed.
And you've got I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Mm-hmm. You've got your guitars. You've got the drum set. Let's hear it. Would you be good enough? The Holmes Brothers off the new album Simple Truths. Hank Williams, I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
Thank you, Tom.
That lonesome whippoorwill, he sounds so blue to fly. That midnight train is winding, Lord, it's winding low. I'm so low, so I could cry. Ever see a robin weep when leaves, oh, leaves begin to die, baby? That means he's lost the will. He's lost the will to live. I'm so low, so I could. Listen at this. Did you ever see a night so long when time goes falling by, baby? That old moon just went, hey, behind the clouds, just to hang his head and cry. I'm gonna play my guitar. Down low, I'm gonna play some more. I'm gonna play some more right here. Of a falling star lights up, whoa, it lights up the purple sky, baby. And as I wonder where you are, I'm so low.
The Holmes Brothers with Hank Williams' I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Oh, you've got me in the mood over here. It's just great. Wendell Holmes on guitar, Sherman Holmes on bass, and Popsy Dixon on drums with that wonderful falsetto, Popsy, coming in there, and beautiful harmony, all of you guys. Just terrific. Sherman, give us a little history here. You and Wendell grew up in Virginia, but you ended up in New York pretty early on, in the 60s.
In the 60s. Actually, I came to New York in 1959, and my brother came in
61.
And right after the same night he graduated from high school, he left.
Boom, straight up to be with you in New York.
Right out of the class right into the car. Right?
And you had both been in the Baptist church choir and been into music. But was it music you intended to do, Sherman, when you first went north to New York? Was that the idea?
That was the idea, yes.
Straight out from the get-go.
Yes. In fact, when we were children, we used to play a game called nightclub.
Ooh, we'd take brooms at home.
We'd play brooms.
Take our mother's brooms.
Sing. Then we'd run out and play cowboy and Indians.
Right. And then into New York and the East Village and that scene and working it and working it and working it for a long, long time. New York is home now to you.
Right. To me.
To him.
To him. Not to you, Wendell?
Baltimore.
Is that
somebody
right?
Somebody has to live in Baltimore.
Ah, so Baltimore. So that means you can keep a fingernail in the South in Baltimore.
Absolutely.
That's the difference, right?
Absolutely. We all used to live in New York. But.
And Pops, are you in New York or?
Baltimore also.
Baltimore.
So you've spread out a little bit.
East Coast,
all that. But you've never been afraid to sort of do the whole waterfront. I mean, you've got the kind of Grand Ole Opry, a little bit of that. You've got juke joint. You've got gospel. Mm-hmm. Was that a musical choice or an economic decision?
Well, actually, it was a musical choice because, like we said earlier, we grew up in the South doing gospel, you know, in the church. We were very fortunate. We used to play in, we come from a small town called Christ Church, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we used to play in the church on Sundays, and we had a cousin that had a juke joint. So when he couldn't get the great bands, he would say, "Come on, cuz, play in my joint on Saturday night." Mm-hmm. So on Saturday, we would rock them. Sunday, we would save them.
You're still doing it. Rock them and save them. You know, the accolades come in pretty high. The London Times says, "Their rhythms take over your body while their voices go straight for your heart." I love this Boston Globe line. They say, "Straight out, raw and real, soul shouts, Jimmy Reed influence, country blues, and juke joint salvation," to your point, Wendell. "The Holmes Brothers can get down or raise crowds to sweaty bliss with soul power." Wow, that's pretty good.
That sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds real good. And here you are still playing. Are you touring?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Sunday we're going to Paris for a week. You know, they had us in the artist protection program for so long. We're finally breaking out.
You know, the witnesses are loose.
The witnesses are loose, man. We're going to Paris, then we're going to Italy and Denmark and Norway and some other places I forget.
What do you make of the way your careers have intersected with what, I mean, you've played with all these great bands, and you've played this great veins of music all this time. What do you make of the way your music has intersected with what's popular, with what's big, with what's hot? You're kind of like the steady line underneath everything that's hit the big time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you, for me personally, and then my brother and my other brother can speak, music to me is therapy. It's not about accolades and kudos. I mean, that's good stuff now, don't get me wrong.
And you've got plenty.
But, you know, it's therapy. I can sit in my own house and play my acoustic piano or go in my basement and play my guitar and have the best time of my life. So I call it a blessing.
Well,
some people would call it luck.
We'll take it as a blessing. We're going to go into a break here soon, and we're going to hear off the new CD, Simple Truths, your version of Collective Soul's Shine. But Sherman, I understand that you didn't actually hear this originally from this kind of all-white Georgia group. You heard it from all-white Dolly Parton.
Is that right?
On her album, Little Sparrow.
Right. Well, I've never heard Collective Soul do it yet.
But you guys have got it. What a roundabout, wonderful country we are. And you guys taking it from Dolly Parton, taking it from these kids in Georgia. It's great. We are in the studio tonight with the Holmes Brothers, Wendell Holmes, Sherman Holmes, Popsy Dixon. Here from the new album, Simple Truths, is Collective Soul's Shine.
Give me a word, give me a sign, show me where to look and tell me what will I find, what will I find. Lay me on the ground, find me in the sky, show me where to look and tell me what will I find, what will I find. Whoa, heaven let the light shine down.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight with gospel blues legends, the Holmes Brothers, about their new CD, Simple Truths. Here's their cover of the Jimmy Reed favorite, Big Boss Man. There's Jimmy Reed, and there's a Roadhouse favorite. Jimmy Reed always comes up in the context of the Holmes Brothers, a big inspiration to you guys. Why? How? How far back?
I got to tell you, Tom, you know, it goes back for me to 1954, a little bit before your time, with a song called Honest I Do. Touched my heart. I was a teenager, my woman and ran away, and... Hey, man, I got in love with Jimmy Reed ever since then.
Now, Jimmy Reed was the real Delta thing. In Virginia, was he playing just the same? Right across the South? Right into
Right across the South, yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
And an influence even now that you can hear very directly in your music. Mm. Okay, there's the inspiration. There's Jimmy Reed. Does it, sooner or later, just become second nature, or is it always like a conscious inspiration? I mean, does Jimmy Reed come to mind, or he's just in your fingertips?
I think he's ingrained in our being. What do you think, Sharon?
I think he's there. He's just there. Yeah,
he's just there.
We've heard him so much. There's so much influence by him.
This song, of course, the Grateful Dead had a lot of fun with and had a lot of success with.
Yeah.
I hope
Jimmy got paid.
I hope he did. It really rocks. Another big influence, Curtis Mayfield. And we can hear that in some of your other cuts. But I think some of you actually...
We played with
Curtis.
Yeah, we played with him.
Did you?
Yeah.
Where? When?
Back in the 60s at a place we used to play at called Gibson's. We were the house band for a while. We had a group, my brother and I, called the Sevilles.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to get all of the acts out of the Apollo. They would come to this particular club on, Thursday, Sharon?
It would be Thursday and Friday nights.
Mm-hmm.
And we would get the headliners from the Apollo,
right?
From the preceding week.
Right, and they'd come over, and you had a chance to play with Curtis.
Yeah, we got to play with everybody.
Everybody.
You've covered a lot and covered it wonderfully, always with that energy and that joy that kind of whips over from the gospel side. You've also written some beautiful tunes of your own. There's one on this album that I'm very fond of. I wish you'd play it for us. It's We Meet, We Part, We Remember. Tell us about this song.
I'm glad you asked me that, Tom, because I tell everyone that I've been writing that song for 50 years. We meet, we part, and sometimes we remember. I remember when I was a little kiddie, my mom, in her college yearbook of 1931 from Virginia State University, some guy had written in my mom's yearbook, we meet, we part, and sometimes we remember, and it wasn't my daddy. And I always ask her about that, and she said, get out of here, boy. You know, so, I mean, that's where that comes from. You know?
That's great, but it's such a great line, and you bring so much to it. Let us hear it right now, the Holmes Brothers.
Together again, I was so blind, could not see. Should have been you, baby. Should have been me.
We meet, we part. Hey, sometimes, babe. We remember. Meet and we part. Hey, babe. Breaking my heart.
Awake at night with you on my mind, hoping and wishing, baby, I could turn back the hands of time. I took too long to find my way.
I remember, baby, how you tried to make me stay.
We part.
Yeah, sometimes, baby.
You remember. Meeting we part.
Yeah, baby.
Breaking my heart.
Got away. I still remember, baby, how you tried to make me stay. You tried so hard to make me see this love of ours, baby. It was meant to be.
We meet, we part.
Hey, hey, baby.
We remember. Meet and we part.
Hey, hey, hey.
Breaking my heart,
tossing and turning and rolling around, thinking about you, baby, and the new love you found. Little did I know, since you've not been around, that I'd be losing, baby, the jewel in my crown.
We meet, we part,
yeah, sometimes, baby.
Remember, meeting we part.
Hey, 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 babe.
Remember, meeting we part.
Hey, hey, babe.
The Holmes Brothers, Wendell Holmes, Sherman Holmes, Popsy Dixon on drums, with their own tune, We Meet, We Part, We Remember, right out of Wendell and Sherman's Mother's College Yearbook. And it wasn't Daddy who wrote it.
It was not Daddy.
Oh, I love it. It might have offended you in some way as a kid, but you get a little older and you have to understand.
I understand now.
You have to understand.
I understand.
And boy, that little cluster of words, I'm sure could bring back a memory or two to your mother a few years later.
Hello.
Oh, boy. You guys have been playing for a long time now. You're not shy about your ages. I think somebody here is 59, somebody here is 64.
Oh, everybody is more than 59.
Okay. Yeah. Time was on. You're getting great reviews on this album. USA Today says the most eclectic mix of songs are there on any blues album this year. Entertainment Weekly, I love this. Juke joint vets with a brazenly borderless view of American music. Everybody loves it, but you're also really starting to get that senior statesman treatment, which can be a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Now, how's it work?
You know what? The older you get more passes, you know. People act like they like you. They have respect for their elders. And, hey, I just love it, you know.
So the number's working.
The number is working.
And the police a little kinder.
The police a little kinder.
How are you, sir?
Would you step out of the car, please, sir?
Because heaven knows there's plenty of downside to it, so you got to enjoy the upside, right?
That's right.
I wonder, but in that same vein, I mean, the kind of music that's your meat and potatoes has really been, for several decades, just the spine of American popular music. Now, in the last 10 years, that music started to shift off a little bit. We've got hip-hop, and we've got a new sound, and I don't know how much you still feel it leaning on the kind of music that has just been the black soil of American music for so many years. When you listen to the Grammys now, when you listen to what's popular, what's playing, Sherman, what do you think of it? What do you make of it? How do you respond to it?
Well, unfortunately, I don't listen to music too much. I don't listen to other people.
But you did it at one point. We can hear it in the way you play. You mean now? You mean
now,
because of the way pop music is gone? You don't like it, or you
it's
just...
It's not that I don't like it, but...
You'd rather play your own?
I'd rather play, and I like to listen to mountain music and bluegrass and...
So what you want is not necessarily on most of that radio dial.
That's right. Yeah.
Same with you, Wim?
Well, you know, I feel that way also. However, I have learned over the years that music, like anything else, it evolves, and the hip-hoppers and rappers... Some of them with the lyrics are not cool, but others, and don't ask me to name them because I don't listen to them either, but others have good lyrics.
Yeah.
And it evolves, and they got something to say, too. So I don't listen to it,
pay,
but I
do you pay attention? Did you watch the Grammys this year, for example?
I turned my TV off.
You turned it off? So
well,
when Outkast was up there in his lime green jumpsuit and the Hey Ya,
well,
Hey Ya.
Well, I think I turned it off by the time it got
okay, you already turned in, huh? Turned in, turned off, turned in. I want to hear more from you guys because it's just such a treat to have you right here in the studio. You've got a cut on this album, Everything Is Free, mm-hmm. Gillian Welch tune. How did you decide to put it on?
Well, actually, I believe it was our producer, wasn't it, Sherman, that brought that song to our attention.
Yeah, I think our producer brought it to us.
And we kind of liked it. And then, you know, it speaks to what we're about in music, downloading music, low life's downloading music and not paying for it. That ain't good, you know. So this Everything Is Free is about that.
Let's hear it.
All righty.
Holmes Brothers, Everything Is Free.
It's all right.
The Holmes Brothers from the new album Simple Truths there with their cover of Gillian Welch's Everything Is Free. Wendell Holmes on guitar, Sherman Holmes on bass, and Poppy Dixon on drums in there with those beautiful vocals. That's great, Popsy. You've got that wonderful high thing. You can take it right up the falsetto. You've just been doing it and doing it. Is it harder to reach up there these days, or is it just your voice? That's just where you sing.
I've been doing it for so long, it just comes natural.
Let me ask you. I was teasing these guys about their age, but you've made a career, a lifelong career in music. You must have friends who have done all kinds of things in their lives. And when you look at what they've done and what you've done, what do you think, Popsy, of the life in music? Are you glad that that's the one you chose?
It's wonderful.
Why that one? Why do you say?
It's something that I enjoy and I love doing. You know, once you have that put in perspective.
It's a great place to start.
That's it.
Yes.
It's not just shuffling off to the time clock.
No.
That's right.
So whether times are good or bad, at least, and I look at you guys with your guitars here in the studio and the drums, I mean, they're almost like an extension of yourselves.
Yeah, it is.
You're so natural with them. These guitars look like third arms there.
Absolutely. I tell my daughters that I have the only job in the world that people applaud when I come to work and applaud when I leave.
And sometimes applaud in the middle.
And sometimes even applaud in the middle. So, I mean, what can you ask for, you know?
Oh, right around break time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a good time for it. No, that's great. We're going to go into the break with a Bob Marley song, which, of course, means reggae. But your treatment I wonder what Bob would think of it. It's something else. This is his Concrete Jungle. Give us the backstory here.
Well, Popsy's doing this song, and actually, I think Craig Street brought it to us, didn't he, Pop?
Yeah.
And he wanted to change it from the regular reggae thing into, hey, make it your own. And my brother Popsy did just that.
I think Bob Marley would sit up and enjoy it. We're talking tonight with the Holmes Brothers. Their new album is Simple Truths. Behind me, Bob Marley's Concrete Jungle off that album. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
No sun will shine in my day today. The high yellow moon won't come out to play. Daughters have covered my life and has changed my day into night. Where is the love to be found? Won't someone tell me? Sweet life must be somewhere to be found.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight with gospel blues legends, the Holmes Brothers. Here they are with Towns Van Zandt's If I Needed You from their new CD, Simple Truths.
If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me and ease my pain? If you need come to you, I'd swim the sea for to ease your pain. In the night forlorn, the morning's born, and the morning shines with the lights of love. You will miss.
Now that's the harmony that just gets me going. I love when you guys break into that. I know this is your secular album, but this rides pretty close to gospel,
yeah,
the way you
does.
Treat If I Needed You Here.
It does.
That is good. This must have been a natural for you, Wendell. It must have just fallen right in your lap.
Well, you know, it's really my brother doing all that pretty singing. You know, I'm not even singing. They wouldn't let me sing on this one. It's just Sherman and Pop told me to shut up.
What's the matter, Sherman? Wendell still hasn't caught on to the subtleties of harmony?
That wasn't my suggestion. I don't know.
Who told me to be quiet.
Well, it's sure.
But I still love him.
You know, when you came out with your last album, which was So Much Gospel, you talked about how religion becomes more important later on in life. Now you've gone back to secular, but it doesn't seem to me like you're leaving religion out of it in a way. Am I right, Sherman? I mean, in a way.
Well, you know, speaking in tongues, that was Jones' idea to make it spiritual.
This is the 2001 CD, right?
Right. We weren't particular going to do a all spiritual type thing.
Oh, so she had to drag you to the altar.
You know, I always like to say, in the scriptures, it says that Jesus turned water into wine, not wine into water. So you were down with a good party.
yes, we hear it. Well, you're speaking of good parties. It wasn't so many years ago. You guys, if I recall correctly, played for Bill Clinton, for President Bill Clinton.
We did.
What was the setting? What was the event?
Well, we were up at the Rockefeller compound doing his second campaign. You know, his second election.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And we played along with the Wayward Son, man.
Now, you were telling me just before we came on, you've been in Arkansas recently.
We were talking last week.
Well, just last night, all these Democrats were on stage in Washington raising a ton of money and all that. And there was Bill Clinton talking. Everybody noted today how he still can reach out and grab the crowd the way he puts things, talking about the mature party, the daddy party, mocking the Republicans last night. But what was the billboard you saw in Arkansas with Big Bill on it?
Yeah, it was the FM station's advertising sign, and it had a sign with him playing the saxophone, and the writing was, "Carry on, Wayward Son."
No saxophone player in the White House right now with George Bush, and I somehow don't think John Kerry would be much of a saxophone player either.
I don't think so.
Well, but there's Bill still talking to us. It's just been such a pleasure to have you in the studio for a while tonight. At the end of a week with all this news, it's fun just to let our hair down a little bit and feel how relaxed and wonderful you all are with the music. You know, we're going to play a good chunk of a song to go out on here. This is Joe Allison's and Audrey Allison's "He'll Have to Go." I've always loved this song, and this is a beautiful version of it.
I love the song.
It's so kind of down and sly, and this is a man saying the other man's going to have to go,
right.
And he's kind of in love with her, but he's kind of just putting the crowbar under other guy's feet and launching him right out of there.
That's right.
Who brought this one to the table? Was this one of your own?
That was my idea. Like you, Tom, I've always loved this song when Jim Reeves did it back in the day. Like my kids say, but hey, I love it.
It has been great having all three of you with us this hour. Just terrific to have you.
Thank you for having us, Tom. Our pleasure.
It's a wonderful pleasure, and I wish you great luck with your tour with this new album, and I hope you just keep it going.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you
for having us.
Wendell Holmes, Sherman Holmes, and Popsy Dixon, the Holmes brothers. Let's close this hour with the Holmes Brothers' rendition of Joe and Audrey Allison's "He'll Have to Go" from their new album, Simple Truths. To read about the Holmes Brothers, go to our website at onpointradio.org. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
Whisper to me, tell me, do you love me true? Or is he holding you the way I do? Though love is blind, make up your mind, I've got to know. Should I hang up, or will you tell him he'll have to go? Say the words I want to hear while you're with another man. If you want me, answer yes or no, darling, I will understand. Put your sweet lips a little closer to the phone. Let's pretend that we're together all alone.
I'll tell the man to turn the jukebox way down low, and you can tell your friend there with you.
In a moment, I'll be joined by On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. First, let's listen back to the sounds of this past week.
We have today eliminated the worst threat to peace and security in the Middle East. Sheikh Yassin is the personal executioner of hundreds and hundreds of Israelis.
It's a cowardly criminal act against a prominent Palestinian leader.
If Libya really gives up its chemical and nuclear weapons capability and becomes a stable partner for us out here in the Middle East, that is a huge gain, not just for Britain or the United States, but for the whole of the world.
In the end, it is Generation Dean voting for John Kerry for President of the United States. That's going to send George Bush back to Crawford, Texas, where he belongs.
Howard and I understand that this election is not about us. It's not about a party. It's about our country, and it's about you and your future.
No one who passes a rape shield statute for its protective purposes expects it to be used as the means by which a victim is subjected to an interrogation.
As soon as you put one nation under God in it, we become divisible.
I am a parent. I have an absolute right to know that when my child goes to the public schools, she's not going to be indoctrinated with any religious dogma.
If he had such grave concerns about the actions we've taken and the consequences it would have in the war on terror, why is it only now that he's raising these issues in the middle of a political campaign?
Had I known that the enemy was going to use airplanes to strike America, I would have used every resource, every asset, every power of this government to protect the American people.
He ignored it. He ignored terrorism for months when maybe we could have done something to stop 9/11. Maybe. We'll never know.
I keep hearing the excuse we didn't have actionable intelligence. Well, what the hell does that say to Al-Qaeda? I mean, basically, they knew that there was going to be limited, if any, use of military and that they were ultimately free to do whatever they wanted.
We used every single tool we had in terms of trying to figure out what the right targets would be and how to go about dealing with what we knew to be a major threat.
They were aware that Al-Qaeda representatives were already in the country running around. The obligation, frankly, is on them, not why didn't we do something beginning a month later.
But I do not recall ever seeing anything in the period since I came back to government about the idea of taking a commercial airliner and using it as a missile.
Your government failed you. Those entrusted with protecting you failed you. And I failed you. And for that failure, I would ask for your understanding and for your forgiveness.
And there is a week. The co-founder of Hamas, Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, is assassinated by a targeted Israeli missile strike in Gaza City. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair makes an historic trip to meet Muammar Gaddafi, ending Libya's 20 years of diplomatic isolation. Howard Dean endorses Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry. Dean's voice still breaking with passion. Pre-trial hearings begin in the Kobe Bryant rape trial. The Supreme Court hears arguments for and against the words under God in the Pledge of Allegiance. The White House and the president respond vigorously to criticism leveled by former counterterrorism czar Richard Clark. And Madeleine Albright, Colin Powell, Donald Rumsfeld, Richard Clark, and many more testify in two combative days of testimony in front of the National 9/11 Commission. Jack Beatty, Richard Clark, sort of the man of the hour this week, standing over or under, depending how you look at it, everything that transpired in these hearings on Capitol Hill.
Yes, it all led up to him, and it all really led up to that moment of truth and honesty when he apologized, when he took responsibility. And that moment stood in such sharp contrast to the torrent of untruth surrounding him. On Rush Limbaugh, Vice President Cheney said that Clark was not in the loop. Rice said Clark was in the loop. Rice said before 9/11, the administration drew up anti-terror plans that had a military component. Deputy Secretary of State Armitage said it hadn't done that. By the way, Rice may go before the committee again, but she's resisting talking under oath, and one wonders why. Rice said that Clark chose not to voice his concern about counterterrorism. The White House, from another memo, says, no, that wasn't quite so. Scott McClellan, the press secretary, denied that Clark had ordered the Pentagon to begin drafting that the president had ordered the Pentagon to begin drafting plans to invade Iraq right after 9/11. Washington Post has come out, has a 2.5-page document 6 days after 9/11 directing the Pentagon to do just that. Deputy National Security Advisor Hadley said denied Clark's charge that there was a domestic threat against America that was imminent. The Washington Post, the bipartisan congressional committee reported that, in fact, that was common knowledge that there was an imminent domestic threat. Finally, the Bush National Security spokesman, Jim Wilkinson, he said that it was the president who expedited the deployment of the armed Predator. According to Newsweek, it was the Bush administration that elected not to relaunch the Predator. And, of course, the Wall Street Journal on Monday, in a story recreating what happened on 9/11, said that when the president claimed that he had given the order for the military to go on alert, he did not give that order. And when he said that he had ordered the civilian emergency people to mobilize, that was not true either.
For all that, there's no way, very obviously, this White House is going to submit to being seen in the wrong in relation to 9/11 and the war on terror. This is their selling point, and they're proudly standing up for their record as they present it.
Oh, yes. I mean, this is their strongest suit. And, you know, they have a certain argument, it does seem to me, at least about pre-9/11, appalling failures of coordination and so on. But they were only there 8 months. Clinton was there 8 years. And, you know, the sheer weight of things says Clinton should have done more. He had more time to do things. And yet, and when Secretary Cohen, former Defense Secretary Cohen under Clinton, was talking about this, you saw why they didn't act. I mean, there were the intelligence complexities. Was he there? Was he not there?
Bin Laden,
what did the CIA?
Yeah.
Yeah. There were the diplomatic complexities. If we attack Afghanistan, what about Pakistan? There were the military considerations. How can we leap over Pakistan to attack Afghanistan? Mm. On and on and on.
Well, at least this week, the beginning of a more open conversation about this. Let's hope that it's full and frank and not too thin-skinned as we go ahead, because we clearly are not done with this conversation. Jack, have a great weekend, and thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.